National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to a $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University School of Business. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, John Schuart, Graybeard Coaching, John Hillen, George Mason University, Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, Randy Anderson, National Capital Bank of Washington, and Corey Lane, White 64. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. John, will you please give us the rundown?
Our first guest is David Petter, President and CEO of the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation. Then we'll talk with Mark Merrill, President and CEO of Old Dominion National Bank. Our third guest is Allison Benzinger, Managing Partner of Exxion Solutions. And our last guest is Mr. Jim Butts, CEO of Southport Services Group.
Let's get into our first guest, David Petter, President and CEO of Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation. David, what is the Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation? What do you guys do?
We're charged with attracting new business and expanding business in Montgomery County to create new jobs and capital investment.
Have you ever done this stuff before?
Yeah, I've done it for about 8 years. I started in advertising and then moved into economic development back in 2008. Did it in Texas, Florida, and now here in wonderful Maryland.
So you've done this gig before. What's it take to build this Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation? Because you've been there and done that. What's it going to take?
I think it takes being a great listener, understanding that there's a very diverse economy, a very diverse group of people that have different interests and motivations, mm-hmm. and building consensus among a wide variety of business groups and people to move really our mission and our vision forward to make Montgomery County a better place to live, work, and play.
It sounds to me like you've got not only vision, but you're like the master weaver. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. We launched our mission and vision. Our mission is to accelerate business growth, and our vision is to reinvent economic development.
Where are you from originally?
Originally from the south side of Chicago.
How many brothers and sisters?
I've got one older sister.
One older sister. And earlier you were sharing that when you were a kid, something happened at home. What was that?
Yeah, the parents went through a divorce. It was a challenging and somewhat dysfunctional upbringing as a kid.
What kind of stuff did that? I mean, that must have been pretty difficult, considering your nature is awfully bonding. What did that do to you? What was the upside of that reasonably difficult circumstance?
Well, I think it made me more mature and more of an adult earlier in my.
What do you mean by
my
that?
Childhood.
What do you mean?
I think I became more self-sufficient. I think I tried to find balance and consensus as well among the family. I tried to find some type of equilibrium and balance among my sister and my parents.
Tell us more about that. What are you talking about?
Well, if there was fighting or challenge or difference of opinion, I tried to make everything right in the family.
How did that prepare you for your job building this Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation?
I think it aligns exactly perfect to what we do day to day in economic development. It's about taking a lot of different personalities and opinion and powerful people and thoughts and trying to align all of those to achieve a greater goal.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question?
David, I understand that you were involved in theater when you were growing up. How did those skills translate into your current job?
Yeah, I think just like theater, we play a part in everything we do. Part of the theater program was instilled to us to act well our part. There, all the honor lies, is what our theater director told us. So everything I do, I try to do the very best I can.
Wait. How old were you when you were taught that?
That was 18 years old.
You were 18?
My freshman year of high school.
And you still remember that?
Yeah, it was written above a doorway on the exit of the theater, and I would look at it, once a day.
Why is that? Why do you bother remembering that? Why does that mean so much to you?
I don't know. I think being in theater and understanding the role I played, whether it was a comedy or a drama or an experimental theater, I think I just really embraced being everything I could be for that persona.
So you're telling me your nature is to pull disparate groups together and then secondarily to put your all into whatever you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
These previous gigs you've had with the other economic development corporations, were you successful at them?
Absolutely.
Why?
I think because I was a good listener. I think I was a person of integrity. I think I was a good communicator. I think I didn't look at things as a one-size-fits-all solution. I was someone that was present throughout a very large county, 2,000 square miles, now 500 square mm-hmm. miles, and I was able to bring together mm-hmm. People mm-hmm. in a way that other people couldn't do.
Next question. Who's got it?
David, you've mentioned twice now listening as a forte. How young were you when you started listening to the message people were saying, not just the words they were speaking? And give us an example.
I would think, you know, it would come back to that theater again, being directed by our director on where to move, where to be, how to deliver lines, mm-hmm. how to act, how to perform.
And how does performing and acting translate into running an economic development corporation?
I think there's expectations on your role. There's expectations on the part you play, how you fit in a larger cast. If we look at my team, I've got a team of 10 people. We all are playing a role at the organization. We're going to be growing the team or the cast at the EDC, and each mm-hmm. each person has a different
Brian, what
part.
Do you got?
Earlier today, you were talking about how you were involved in an archaeology dig when you were younger. You want to tell us a little about that, because you seemed like that was pretty formative on you.
Yeah, between my undergraduate and graduate degrees, I worked in Auburn, Alabama on a Creek Indian village dig. And this was an opportunity for me to not only be intellectual and smart, because we had to see certain things in the soil, but it was also very physically demanding. It was the hot sun, it was snakes, it was chiggers, it was everything of the elements. And it was very tough. And I remember seeing my dad work throughout his career, not being very happy in his career. He worked very selfishly for us. And being in the hot sun in Auburn, Alabama, made me realize that I want to do something mm-hmm. for the rest of my life that would make me happy and not be challenged as I was there in the sun.
Corey?
So acting, archaeology, advertising, besides the letter A, is there a common thread or a passion that has led you to economic development today?
I believe economic development and life is about communication. It's about bringing people together, and it's about selling. I really believe economic development transformed from being a pure government role to a selling organization, a marketing organization. And that's something that I began to do back in the late 2000s, and I believe is going to lead us to success here in Montgomery County.
What was the effect of Disney World on you?
Disney World is a creative place. It increased my creative ability. You know, one thing that I got great at was reading people. I sat probably 1,000 people over a lunch hour at a restaurant, and I would have to walk up to someone and give a spiel, give a.
Wait. You were working there?
Yeah, I worked there 2 summers.
And what did this teach you about? Give me that again.
I'd be able to meet with a family that was coming out from the hot sun, wanted to have lunch at this restaurant that I worked at, yeah. And I would be able to have to read them immediately to see what their disposition was. Whether they were happy or if they were tired, if they were angry as a family, and I could immediately turn them and make them excited to be there for lunch.
Wait a minute. That's not normal. I worked in a restaurant. Nobody cared. I mean, if somebody wants the pizza, you bring them the pizza. You don't talk to them. You're mean to them. Maybe you do it because you want a tip. You're trying to read everybody?
Yeah, that's part of the experience. It's part of giving that Disney culture of service. So I think I got very good at understanding people very quickly through that role.
What's that have to do with this Montgomery County thing that you're doing, reading people?
Well, again, back to the Montgomery County Economic Development, it's very diverse, very large, different cultures, different motivations, different agendas. I think it's important to be able to assess someone's personality and what their goals are pretty immediately in the conversation.
And you also mentioned because you had some contention at home, Disney World played a special role in your earlier years as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, Disney World was a place that our family was always happy together. Regardless of the challenges that were happening at home throughout the year, we could be a family together and enjoy ourselves for that week or week and a half in Florida. So it was very formative in my childhood as a place that everything was okay in the world, a place where I could be enjoy my creative side, a place that we could be happy as a group. So,
well, what's that have to do with, you know, building this Montgomery County economic, being happy? What are you talking about?
Well, I think, again, it's about bringing together a lot of disparate people, assets, and cultures and finding a common goal to make the quality of life better for Montgomery County.
I just want to make sure, Mr. Hillen, what are you thinking?
When did you start working, David? What age?
How young?
I would think it was 8th or 9th grade.
And what were you doing then?
I started at a pharmacy In time, I would work in advertising. I'd work at an ice rink. I'd work at Disney. I'd work on an archaeological dig. I mean, I think my success has been that I've had a dysfunctional or disruptive career path and have learned a lot of different skill sets along the way.
Is this your idea or somebody else's? Did you get pushed into working early or you wanted to?
I wanted to.
Why is that?
I think I've always had the entrepreneur bug. You know, I wouldn't know to call it entrepreneurism back then, wanted to set my own course.
Were there a lot of combo entrepreneur actors around you when you were growing up? These are not usually skill sets that people think go together.
No, I would think that got developed later in my career.
Mm-hmm. Mark, Mr. Freeman, you have a question there?
Your dysfunctional family, how does that relate to where you are today and how you make Montgomery County a success and your life and where you're going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I've recognized that Montgomery County has wonderful assets, has a wonderful, and it's really, I tell my colleagues that they'd want 10% of what we have in Montgomery County, but it's not aligned to the degree that can be aligned today. So I'm working with a very diverse county with diverse assets, diverse goals, and trying to bring them all onto the same page to create a better quality of life.
So on one hand, you're reading people. You're trying to understand people and where they're coming from and organizations, and it's all for the purposes of pulling them all together and getting them all working together and aligning them?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So we're trying to improve our talent development. We're trying to create jobs. We're trying to find people better quality of life through opportunity. And there's a lot of people that are working in silos and have different strengths
throughout the county. I thought economic was all about finance, and you know, but you're bringing it to the people level where it's all about people. It's understanding who the different people are in Montgomery County that you've got to pull together, and how do you pull them together? What's the website address of this organization?
The website is thinkmoco.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Thinkmoco.com.
We've been speaking with Dave Petter. President and CEO of Montgomery County Economic Development Corporation here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money. All the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that. Succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow. Assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, and I'd like to introduce Mark Murrell, President and CEO of Old Dominion National Bank. Mark, what is Old Dominion National Bank?
We are a community bank headquartered here in Tysons Corner, Virginia.
And when you say community bank, what are you talking about?
That means we serve the local communities that our bankers live and work in.
You serve the local, and where are you located? Whereabouts is this?
In Tysons Corner.
It's Tysons Corner. This is Fairfax County, Virginia.
Northern Virginia.
Uh-huh. And let's see, how old is this bank?
This bank's about 10 years old.
About 10 years old. And how long have you been with it?
Been there just over a year.
Just over a year. And where are you from originally?
From Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, so
Harrisburg,
South Central Pennsylvania.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I am one of five.
And where? What made you different than the other four? What was your reputation amongst the other four?
How I think that I was the connector of all the children, of the five kids.
Yeah, actually, I remember talking earlier, you mentioned there were some challenges in the family when you were a kid. What was that all about?
Well, for the most part, I had a great childhood, but my mom did go through some sickness, so we had to pull together and get
that. What kind of sickness?
She had cancer.
Uh-huh. And when your mom got sick, who stepped up to the plate?
I think we all stepped up, but I think my older sister stepped up probably for all the boys.
Yeah, how'd that make you feel?
It made me feel great. I mean, she's still my, you know, my go-to when I need another figure in my family.
Didn't you tell us that you loved her more because of that?
I did, and I think she loved me the most too.
What was it about? So you respect authority as opposed to resenting authority or, you know, being afraid of intimacy. You really appreciate it. You really enjoy it.
No, I do.
Yeah. How did that experience with your mom and the family pulling together, how did that prepare you to be a successful president and CEO of Old Dominion National Bank?
Well, I'm a very people person. I believe in a really tight, trustworthy group. And what I saw was our family come together during tough times and be there for each other. So I feel the same way as now been translated into my business world.
John?
Mark, I raise capital from a lot of different places, a lot of different banking partners. I'm looking for the grid. I'm looking for the terms and conditions. I'm looking for the covenants and everything. How does the people stuff help in that? Isn't it just, this is just numbers, right?
No, it's not just numbers. I truly believe that people are the sustainable competitive advantage, both in your personal life and in the workforce.
Okay. So in your banks, because you've worked in a number of different community banks, are you proudest of the financial achievements, or one of your banks was voted a best place to work in Pennsylvania when you were there? Which one of those mattered more to your business success?
Sure. The financial part is very, very important, but, you know, it's the achievements we did together. Mm-hmm. And the bonds we made, exactly. And the people we led.
And did you try to play that role in your family growing up? A best place to work, a best family to be in?
Yeah, he was the connector. He told us he was the connector.
Yeah.
Well, we have one of our guest co-hosts is Randy Anderson, who is the CEO of National Capital Bank of Washington. And Randy told us that a number of years ago, he actually hired Mark to be the CFO of a previous bank. Randy, do you remember that incident?
Absolutely. I remember it like it was yesterday. Mark was an incredibly well-qualified but very young candidate to replace our CFO, who had passed away suddenly. Our first interview with Mark, he came in and he was absolutely stone-cold serious and wouldn't even have a glass of wine with us afterwards. And we had a very tight-knit executive management team. So we came away with, wow, this guy is incredibly qualified, but how's he going to fit in? We'll give him one more chance. And so the next time he came back in, it was just a different experience. So I think Mark had warmed up to us, and he became a part of what was a very tight-knit team and was an integral part of it.
So technically, Mark had the skills. You just needed to make sure that he fit into the culture and that he would expand the culture of the organization?
Absolutely. One of the things that about Mark is his experience for someone his age. He took two companies through a very high growth curve and then helped sell them. And I was wondering what sort of experiences from your childhood really gave you the resilience to be able to do that at that such a young age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I think it was from an early stage I started working. I didn't have a choice. I watched my older siblings. They worked, very hard work ethic. Mm-hmm. I started serving snacks and cleaning bathrooms when I was 14 or 15 years old at the local sports arena.
Mm-hmm. Corey, did you have a question to Brian?
I did, Mark, you were telling us earlier that you were a ferocious athlete in high school and even into college as well. How does that compare to your leadership style today?
I think it was persistence, never give up. Was a star athlete until I was in college. When I was in college, I played college soccer all 4 years, but I wasn't the star.
Mm-hmm. Brian?
It seems, Mark, that you like to build structure and you have a competence in that level. But also, I understand that you have some risk-taking element in you. You went ahead and tried a startup at one point in time. Isn't that correct?
I did. I left banking at the top of my career and did a technology startup.
What drove you to make that decision?
I think it was the risk-taking, and I could. I was at a place financially where I outworked everyone through my 20s, observed and led in my early third to mid-30s, and was at a point in my career where I could take a chance.
And what's the most important thing you think you learned through that experience?
You know that if you fail, you get right back up on your feet, and you keep moving forward.
Interesting. We have a young lady who works with you. But what is your name?
Stephanie Likens.
And Stephanie, what's your role in the organization?
I am the director of retail banking.
What's it like working with him?
Every day is an adventure, he says.
What do you mean?
Mark is a quiet leader. Fun and family are his two big things. He said when it's
Wait. How would you know fun and family are his two things? You're working in a bank. It's all blood and guts and numbers. What are you talking about?
You know, maybe at others, but at Old Dominion, it is all about the culture. And Mark is big on that. He said when it's no longer fun, we won't do it anymore. And always make that family work-life balance.
How interesting. How fascinating. I mean, Mark, do you purposely do this?
I think it's intentional. I think you need to be. It's probably natural, but there's also, to some extent, it's got to be intentional.
And who's got the next question?
What did your dad do growing up, Mark?
My dad was a civil engineer.
Okay, and what kind of engineering did you?
Contracts, mostly worked with contracts. But my dad left a very prestigious firm in order to spend more time with his family.
Okay, and how did that? What did you take away from that you carry forward?
Yeah, I just learned that true wealth is built at home. So no matter how successful you are at business, find something else.
It says here, maybe this piece of paper is wrong. It says here that you're the president and CEO of Old Dominion National Bank. You just said, maybe you're mistaken. You just said true wealth is built at home. What are you talking about?
Yeah, at least for me it is. You have everyone, I believe, if you can find something that motivates you, you can carry that into the workplace. But for me, at the end of the day, the people that work with me are my family. Those that stay become our family, and that's the way I lead at work.
What do your parents think about the culture you created there at Old Dominion National Bank?
I think they're proud of it. you know, I think they're very proud of it.
Mm-hmm. What's the website address of this bank, Old Dominion National Bank?
It is odmbonline.com.
Let me have that one more time.
odmbonline.com.
We've been speaking with Mark Merle, who's the president and CEO of Old Dominion National Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host John Schwartz, Graybeard Coaching. John Hill and George Mason University, Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit, Brian Chandler, Pretoria Law, Randy Anderson, National Capital Bank of Washington, and Corey Lane, White 64. We will be back in a moment right after this break. Stick around.
Part of my program, getting from there to here, being able to ride my bike 620 miles every single year from San Francisco to San Diego, is because my friends here at Superbeats. You know, in 1998, the Nobel Prize in Medicine was awarded to three scientists who discovered nitric oxide and the effects on the body. Doctors now refer to it as body's miracle molecule. Every one of the guys in my studio is taking this stuff. In the last 4 weeks that I've taken this, I'm going to tell you, I'm sleeping better, my knees are better, my nutrition better. By the way, beets are a nutritional gold mine. They're rich in vitamins, minerals, dietary nitrates, nitric oxide, all can help circulation, help maintain healthy blood pressure levels. I am confident. You buy 1 month supply of Super Beets, I'm going to give you a 1 month supply free. Also, remember the free book, Beat the Odds, free shipping on your entire order. You're going to love the results. I know it's working. I feel better. I feel more energy. You're going to feel better, too. Super Beats. Call right now, 800-808-0687. That's 800-808-0687. Or go to sullybeats.com. That's S-U-L-L-Y beats.com.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America. Red, white, and you.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. That's 800-848-2370.
Any home or business can quickly become infested with mold with the introduction of a water source, like a roof or plumbing leak. When your home, your belongings, or your business becomes damaged, it's not just about cleaning up the mess, it's about reclaiming your life, and that's why you need to call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline. A licensed, fully insured, affordable, non-invasive solution to solving any water and mold problems. Our team of trained specialists are available with 24/7 emergency service. We will quickly evaluate your problem and give you a plan that will guarantee results. Water causes damage and mold can spread throughout your property in as little as 48 to 72 hours and can produce allergens and irritants that have the potential to cause serious health hazards. So don't waste time. Give us a call now. For any water or mold problems, call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline.
Call 800-432-8430 today for a free estimate. That's 800-432-8430. 800-432-8430.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for for less than $3 a pill. Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Allison Banzinger, who is the managing partner of an organization known as X-Scion.
X-Scion.
And what is X-Scion? What do you guys do?
We are a strategy and technology consulting firm.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this organization?
We have around 125 employees and consultants.
And when was it founded?
We were founded in 2002.
And how did you get a job with it?
I was one of the founders.
You were one of the founders of this organization. How young were you when you started this business, when you co-founded this?
31.
31. And let's see. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Pennsylvania, Lancaster County.
Lancaster County. How many brothers and sisters?
I have two older brothers and an older sister.
So that makes you the youngest of four?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And what was the effect of you growing up the youngest of four?
I had to be louder than the others. Mm-hmm. I was probably more outgoing.
Mm-hmm. What did Dad do for a living?
My father worked in a factory.
Mm-hmm.
He was a forklift operator.
Did you tell us that you thought your dad was the kind of guy that could do certain things? Like what? What was that all about?
He could. He could. He grew up on a farm, and he could just build. If you gave him a hammer and nails, he could build anything.
So your dad could do anything. Your dad was a pretty clever guy, an industrious guy. Uh-huh.
Yes.
So what part of your dad, about his ability to do anything, what part of that has helped you build this organization?
He just had a very strong work ethic.
Do I get the sense, though, that in terms of this business, you have a partner in this business?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how do you and your partner complement each other? What do you guys do different? How are you different?
We're very much alike, but very different at the same time. We're alike in the values of the corporation, the company, focusing on people, staying true to our gut when it comes to making decisions, doing the right thing.
Does this partner remind you of any of your brothers?
If I had to pick one, probably my younger brother of the two.
And was this the brother you were closest with?
I'm close to both of them. My older one, I was probably closer growing up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, what did you learn from your younger brother that helped you prepare you for your partner?
He was very just works well with people.
Mm-hmm. John?
And just taught me how to do that as well.
When did you start working? What age were you when you started working, Allison?
I was young. I started 14 years old, 11 or 12 babysitting, if you count that, but paycheck job. I was 14.
So you were babysitting, and what did you do different than all the other babysitters?
Really tried to engage the kids, keep them busy.
How'd you go about doing that? What are you talking about?
Going above and beyond, maybe. Taking them on walks, going to the park,
engaging with them. Was that your idea?
It just came natural.
Uh huh. What's that have to do with building this business? How's babysitting and going the extra mile babysitting, take the kids out for walks and playing games and stuff? What's that have to do with building your business?
I think you have to keep the culture going and keep your people moving forward and keep folks engaged. Mm-hmm. I think that's important.
You're babysitting, then you're working. So you go into high school at 14. You're working. You've been babysitting. I guess you weren't very involved in high school then because you got a lot going on already, right? You're working.
Yeah, I was involved in everything.
What does that mean?
My mother was very clear about telling all of the kids to stay involved with everything.
Wasn't there something about a divorce at home when you were a kid?
Yes, my parents went through a divorce when I was probably 12 or 13.
What did that do to you?
It actually, I still remain close with both of them, but it really kept me driven and focused on just making things, you know, getting along and making things work and moving forward. It was actually more quiet around the house.
What do you mean it kept you more driven and focused and quiet? What are you talking about?
I just wanted to really stay focused on my activities and staying involved in different sports and just, you know, moving forward.
What I understand, though, is you got involved with 1,001 different things. Isn't that true?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Tell us why you got involved and what kind of stuff you got involved with.
I like being around people. I've always enjoyed being people, getting along with everyone.
So as opposed to what happened with the family shutting you down and turning you inside and causing separation, your natural inclination was to get further involved with people because you really enjoy the intimacy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I always have.
When the going gets tough in the business, do you start screaming and yelling at everybody, or do you pull them close together?
No, try and get them close together. So let's talk about issues, get them on the table, and move forward.
Didn't you tell us earlier that when Mom and Dad got divorced, you actually thought it was a good thing because, you know, all of us, it was the best thing for everybody?
It was more quiet, yeah. Uh-huh. More peaceful.
So your nature is, when there's a problem, just get it on the table and talk about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Randy, what kind of questions you got?
Yeah, Allison, I understand that horses played a meaningful role in your childhood. How so?
They did. My parents got my sister and I each ponies when we were young, and we just learned responsibility, getting up at 6 in the morning, feeding the horses, getting our homework done. If we got a bad grade or something went wrong or we were grounded from the ponies. And it just taught us a lot of responsibility at a very early age.
Didn't you hate that, though? I mean, it sounds to me like, you know, if
it loved normal. It.
But on one hand, if you didn't do something right, you weren't allowed to. Didn't you hate your parents because of that?
No, it actually, it just made us appreciate, you know, the time that we had. And we weren't a very wealthy family. They they put a lot out to get the ponies for us.
Gotcha.
So it was, we were very appreciative.
Brian?
Allison, you were telling us earlier about how when you first got out of school, you started like one of your first real entrepreneurial activities. You want to tell us about that a little bit?
Sure. I got my first job out of college, and obviously I went in debt because I had to go out and buy business suits. I had to get a car, signed up for a credit card, probably $2,000 or $3,000 balance on there, and I had to pay it off. So I ended up. I always enjoyed baking growing up, and I. Started a small business probably for about a year or so called Allison's Cookie Jar, where I would make different kinds of cookies, put them in a basket with the tea towel and saran or the wrap in a big bow, and realtors would use them. A guy that I was dating at the time, his roommate was a sales manager at a telecom company, and everyone gave them out over the holidays.
What would you learn from that experience that you're using to build the existing business, this cookie
just
business?
Drive and commitment. Once the debt was paid off, then I focused on my career, my corporate career a bit more. But I enjoyed it. It was
Corey?
Fun.
Do you still use baking as an outlet?
No, not as much. I enjoyed it then.
What are your outlets? What do you do to take a break nowadays?
I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy my family. Have a great time spending with
my kids.
Did
you tell us that when you started this business, you were engaged?
Yeah, when we started talking about the business, I was engaged. I corrected myself. We were married.
So when you started talking about the business, you were engaged. And your fiancé, what did he think of the idea at that point?
Oh, my husband encouraged it greatly, very much so. He's an entrepreneur himself.
He encouraged you to do what?
To start the company.
Why would he
Absolutely.
Do that?
Absolutely.
Why?
I was working for a dot-com company, and it had folded or was getting close closing the doors, and I just needed to know what my next step was.
So you really were relying, you really were looking for the support.
I knew I wanted to do it, and my business partner said to me several times when I worked for the company, hey, would you ever want to start a company? No, not right now is not the right timing, but I was laid off. I called him the next day. I said, if it's a good timing for you, it's good timing for me.
Randy, didn't you have some other thoughts regarding...
I did. So a hiring premise I've used throughout my career that's always served me well is when I'm interviewing someone from Pennsylvania, I give them 10 bonus points. Allison, you're from Pennsylvania. Why is that?
I am. I think that Pennsylvanians are hard workers. just there's anyone that I've known from PA is very just focused on really strong work ethic, grit, commitment. They'll get up and, you know, something goes wrong, they shake it off and keep going. And everyone that I've known who's from there seems to have that same behavior instilled in themselves.
Who's got the next question here?
Allison, among the many activities you were involved in high school, you said you were a baton twirler.
Yes.
What does being a baton twirler, what did that teach you about starting up a business?
Just part of a team. I mean, we practiced a lot and rehearsed, and we ended up going to state championship. Just like when I was on the track team, was a captain there, and
you were a captain on the track team.
Yes.
What was your role with the baton twirling?
I wasn't one of the captains there.
Mm-hmm. So you're able to play a variety of roles on the team. Sometimes you're the lead, and sometimes were you the best baton twirler?
No.
What was your effect on that team?
We all played our role.
What was your effect on the team?
I'm just a contributor that did my job.
So sometimes you're able to lead and sometimes you're able to follow. You don't got to be the middle of attention all the time, do you?
Nope.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. And I mean, it makes a lot of sense because when mom and dad were having their issues, you know, you got involved with the community. You're like a real community kind of person. What's your website address for this organization?
It's xion.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Allison Banzinger, managing partner of Xion, here on Executive Leaders Radio. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you are one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be entitled to disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free no-obligation consultation, call 800-504-1639. That's 800-504-1639. There are a vast number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-504-1639. 800-504-1639. That's Citizens Disability. 800-504-1639.
Say hello to John. John dreamed of building a successful business and retiring to an exotic island in the Caribbean. He dreamed about his sales soaring and all the money that would be flowing in. He dreamed of hiring a sales team and expanding his company. Well, sadly, that dream fell apart when his bank turned down his business loan. Now John is not dreaming about going to the Caribbean anymore. He's driving around in an old beat-up pickup truck. If you need money to grow your business to new heights so you can reach your dreams, don't let the bank hold you down. You need to call Merchant Advance Express today. We can help you get qualified for up to $250,000 to grow your business any way you want. Call now to learn more. Call 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735, 800-503-3735. That's 800-503-3735.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and I'd like to introduce a gentleman by the name of Rick Spees, who's the office managing partner of Akerman. What is Akerman? What are you guys doing?
Akerman is a full-service law firm. We're located in 24 cities. We have about 650 employees.
Wow, it's a large organization. And what's your specialty in the firm?
I am actually the head of the policy practice, which means I'm the head lobbyist, and I run all the lobbyists in the firm.
Wow. Where are you from originally?
I was born here, but I grew up primarily in Oakland, California.
And how many brothers and sisters?
I've got a brother and two sisters.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm the oldest.
And what did Dad do for a living?
My father was a businessman, but ultimately became a local politician.
A local politician. What kind of influence do you think Dad had on you?
Well, I think it had a great influence on me. I think that he was out in the community, and I was with him a lot as the oldest, and got to see what he was doing and see how he could help people.
What kind of clubs did you join? What kind of club did you join at the age of seven?
I was a Boy Scout, and I also was a swimmer.
All right, so you were a Boy Scout, and you started off, what, as a Cub Scout?
Started as a Cub Scout.
And you ended up as a?
An Eagle Scout.
How many years later?
Started about seven and ended at 18.
And when you ended as an Eagle Scout, what was your role on that team?
I was the senior patrol leader of the troop at that time.
And what did that mean?
I was in charge of running the meetings and in charge of helping to run the monthly overnights.
Was there anything in that personality trait that has anything to do with what you're doing nowadays as the office managing partner of Akerman?
I think that you have as much control of fellow Boy Scouts as you do of fellow lawyers.
That's not what I meant. I mean, it sounds to me like you took a leadership role. That's what I was pointing to. Is that fair?
That's true. But it's a leadership role where you have to kind of lead by example and lead by persuasion as opposed to demand and control.
So you've got to gain commitment as opposed to demanding compliance.
Yes.
It don't work the other way.
That's right.
And how young were you when you started making money?
Oh, I don't know, about eight or nine.
Doing what?
I did yard work around the neighborhood.
Whose idea was it?
It was mine. It was a neighborhood where people would be out in the yard working on weekends, and there were some folks that were fairly elderly in our neighborhood, and I went over and asked them if they'd want some help, and they said yes.
Wait. So you're 9 years old, and you're out approaching people regarding can you give them a hand with X, or Y, or Z, but you felt comfortable at the age of nine approaching people, correct?
I did.
Uh-huh.
I did.
Does that have anything to do with what you do nowadays?
Well, I think that's obviously what I do for clients, and I do. I'm representing clients. So I have to approach people and make the case.
Yeah, give me an example of what you mean.
Well, as a lobbyist, I have clients that need things from the federal government and they need things from Congress, and these are all cold calls that I have to go on up and make the best case and take them in and make it happen.
So you felt comfortable approaching as a kid, which is a personality trait you developed through the years to get you to be the managing partner, managing partner of Ackerman. Who's got the next question?
They say that all politics is local, and your father was a local politician. How has that impacted you being on K Street?
Well, I think it actually is the same thing. I think that even now, you are the most effective when you're lobbying, when you are making it local and you're making it specific.
Uh-huh.
When you were a kid, you said you were a swimmer, and you did that. You said you were scrawny. How does being a scrawny swimmer translate today to running a law firm?
Well, I think that I was not going to be a team sport person. But I wanted to do something athletic. I wanted to do something that was outside and physical. And so swimming was the logical thing to do. And mm-hmm. I grew up in California, so it was something a lot of people did.
Marissa?
Rick, what did your mom do?
My mom was a stay-at-home mom.
And how do you bring her into your business?
Well, if you've ever been part of a family with a local politician, you realize that it is a constant chaos. There are people coming and going. Things are happening. Constituents are calling. You're disappearing. You just have to be able to do anything at any time. And
Andrew?
She was able to do that.
When you were a kid, did your father talk about politics and experiences related to politics at the dinner table?
Yes, he did. But he wasn't talking about national politics, and he wasn't talking about the president. He was talking about the local. How do we get the streetlights down the street, and how do we get this thing?
How did that influence you? How did you feel when Dad was talking about that stuff? You want to go outside and run away or what?
No, I thought it was great. He wanted to help people. He had been a businessman for 30 years, but he had decided that he wanted to make the community better, and so he ran. And he did, and I thought that was great.
So at the dinner table, Dad's talking about this stuff, and you're taking an interest?
Yes, I am.
Did you ask him questions?
I did. I went with him a lot. I was the one that went with him to his when he gave his speeches, and I'm the one who went with him and went out in the community, and we walked the streets together. And when he was running, we were the ones out putting out the signs.
So you went with your dad. Mm-hmm. Give us an experience that happened way back then that influenced you.
Well, there was a science center in Oakland that they decided they were going to. It was Earth going to be shut down for earthquake purposes, and they decided they were going to have to shut it down. And he decided he was not going to let that happen, and instead he wanted to build it to another location and make it new and better.
And how did that influence you?
Well, I just realized that you don't have to take the situation as it is, and you can make things better and try to make them better.
John,
does your dad know about your success being a key leader in one of the bigger law and lobbying firms in the country?
Yes, he does. He's still alive, and he's great.
So what does he say about that?
Yeah. Is he surprised?
I don't know about that. No, he's very pleased that I've fallen in his footsteps.
He feels that you followed in his footsteps.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Matt. You talk to, you know, the scouting is all about service. Politics is about service. And where's the connection?
Well, I think what I do now is about service. I mean, I serve clients. My particular group of clients that I represent are local governments, and they have a lot of real serious issues here in Washington, and I really like making them things better.
Wait. You really like what? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, for instance, we represent some Florida cities. And so when they have something like a hurricane that goes through, and then they need to have FEMA help, and they need to have police help, and they need the federal government to step in, we're there to help them to get it done as quickly as possible. And it's very rewarding.
But the apple didn't fall far from the tree then. Your dad's a local politician, and now you're helping local jurisdictions get what they need out of Washington.
That's true.
Huh, how interesting. What's the website address for this organization known as Ackerman?
It's Ackerman, A-K-E-R-M-A-N .com.
Excellent. We're speaking with Rick Spees, Office Managing Partner of Ackerman here on Executive Leaders Radio. And I like the, let's see, John, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of speaking with?
Sure. Today? Our first guest today was Jamie Fowler, Managing Partner, Atlantic Coast of Grant Thornton. Then we talked to Sundar Vaidyanathan, Co-Founder and CEO of CarSun Solutions. Our third guest was Rick Del Santro, co-founder and president of Zippy Shell, and we just talked to Rick Spees, office managing partner of Ackerman LLP.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host, Mr. John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Andrew Renard from Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Friedman, Expense to Profit, Marissa Bagasra, Small and Plevy, Matt White, White 64, and Deanne O'Brien from M&T Bank for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. And let's see, we're broadcasting from George Mason University School of Business in Arlington. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.